At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often I would have gathered you together, your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. It is very difficult today to be a Christian, to confess that we in the one holy Christian and apostolic church, that we believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, truth, and a life, that no one comes to the Father except through Him. There is no other God, there is no other deity that leads to heaven, that leads to paradise. It is only the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working in unity for all of us. This is very difficult to confess today, especially in a day and age where so many don't even believe anything, where atheism is on the rise. Many believe that there is something bigger, but they're not sure they have the knowledge, as agnostics will talk about. And then there are those who muddle everything up and say that there is multiple paths leading to the same God. We've been focusing on that throughout our Lenten season so far with our midweek services about living as a Christian in an unchristian world. And yes, you are here today in the friendly confines of this church. You're here singing praises to God and hearing the wonderful words of Scripture and saying our robust amen to everything that we hear and say today. But when you step outside of the doors of this place, that is where it gets difficult. That is where we are under attack, as we heard last week. That is where the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We as Christians are not immune to the chaos and the trouble and the danger of the world. Just because we are baptized believing Christians doesn't mean that we live in some sort of bubble where everything is happy-go-lucky for us. There will always be danger for you as a Christian. And it's not just from the easy things like stealing or cursing or human trafficking or terrorism. There are false beliefs surrounding us today, just as I mentioned before. But be on guard and remember what Jesus says from Scripture. "Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." And in the end, he will look at those who deny him and say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." We as Christians can grow very, very comfortable in this world and in this life, and that we forget so often, myself included, that our citizenship is in heaven. It is in that place that God says through Jesus he will go to prepare a place for us. Now I know I'm being a real downer here today, as if everything in this life is just bad. It's horrible, we may say. It's not good. That's not the case. God creates everything good, and everything from his hand is good. He created all things through him, by him, and for him. And he wants us to enjoy what he has made for us and what he gives to us in our families, our friends, our work, our possessions, our homes, and our lives. But when we make those things our gods, when we worry and fear about whether we have enough, when we worry about what others will think about us who are Christians, and we are silent to the truth, that is when we get into trouble. I see this all the time in my own life as a pastor. One who gets up and speaks and proclaims the word of God, one who is in the community, one who speaks to a lot of people outside of the church, I oftentimes feel the temptation and the urge just to keep my mouth shut, to not speak the truth in love, to be quiet and just to get along. That's very popular today. That was the problem with the people in Jeremiah's time from our Old Testament reading as well. They were clinging to the holy city of Jerusalem, to the land and to the temple that God had established for them. Yes, even the temple that he'd given them. They had made it into some sort of false god. They were not clinging to the one who had given these things. And so Jeremiah opens his mouth and he preaches that unless they repented and turned to the one who gives, he says, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant. And to be sure, he didn't get a roaring amen. They couldn't stand it. They were too comfortable in the way that they were. In fact, as you may recall, they said to him very clearly, as they took hold of him, you shall die for what you've spoken. This is the problem of Paul's day. He said that they were in the midst of the ones who made their God their belly and set their mind on earthly things. And Paul's words fell on deaf ears. They were too comfortable the way that they were as well. And then you hear Jesus as well. The problem was is that he was speaking the truth. He was opening his mouth and getting himself into trouble. The Pharisees came and said to him that you need to be careful. Herod is going to kill you for speaking this. The Pharisees were comfortable in their religion of the law, their religious life, the way things were. So that when Jesus came casting out demons and performing cures and calling people to repent and return all out of love, they would not listen. Instead, they sought his life. And so we are no different today, are we? Are you very comfortable with this life in this world today? Are you clinging too tightly to the gifts that God has given to you instead of God himself? Are you unwilling to let these things go? Have you forgotten about where your true citizenship is? That by virtue of your baptism, you are a very citizen of heaven, a child of God? It's amazing how comfortable we can get and how forgetful we can become, and so quickly. We are in a day and age that seeks to remove Jesus from all public discourse. We're in a day and age that glories in the shameful things while shaming those who speak about the glorious things of God. And maybe we stand aside and remain silent. We who like to point out the sins of others but ignore sin in ourselves, that becomes a big problem for us. Or maybe there is even the opposite of that, where we get so wrapped up in our sin and our shame that we somehow become strangely proud that our life is worse than others. And so we do not repent and turn to the one who wishes to give life and forgiveness. Jesus cries out over Jerusalem as he does over us today. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers together a brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus was mad. He's upset. He's crying over Jerusalem. In fact, you couldn't blame Jesus if he would have just given up on the whole thing that he has come to do. if he had just thrown up his hands and said, "Behold, your house is forsaken, and you're never going to see me again. I'm done with all of you." But instead, he says, "I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" We'll be singing that in a few short weeks on Palm Sunday. Jesus rides into the holy city of Jerusalem to become one of those prophets, yet again, who would be killed there. But that's why he came. That's why he came, because he knows that it is very difficult for us to live in this horrible world that condemns and kills the prophets of God, that rejects the very one who created us. He comes not to simply condemn us. He comes to save us. And no matter how comfortable you are in this life, no matter how comfortable you've tried to make yourself in this life, no matter how ashamed I am of Jesus and his words, he has come for you. He has come for me. He hangs on that cross outside the walls of Jerusalem. He hangs on that cross lovingly. He hangs there to call us back to himself. He doesn't call us to die for him. He calls us to live in him and with him. That is why he lays down his life and he would take it up again, to crush the power of sin and death, and to promise you and me and all who believe and confess his name that there is resurrection, there is victory, there is hope, there is life for you and me. Victory and life that comes by the forgiveness of our sins, and to always remind us that he is at work on you and me today, on you and on me, and in me and in you as well, working in our hearts all that is needed, all so that we may be brought back continuously to our life in him. For only in him is our life, life that is above all of the things of this world. Things here decay. Rust destroys things. But our citizenship is in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, but yet where the Son of God says he goes to prepare a place for you. You now have life in the good times and in the bad times, in times of plenty and in the times of need. You have life now, whether you are the youngest of the children here or the oldest of the old who are here. According to God and his rich mercy and grace, you now live as holy, blameless, and righteous people who are truly free. Free because the truth has been spoken to you to set you free. Free to worship him without fear. Free to live holy, righteous, blameless lives, to face everything, boldly confessing Christ, boldly speaking the truth, boldly going against the grain of popularity and of thoughts and of unbelief, all by the power of the Holy Spirit in and through you, daily living out your vocation, daily living out as salt and light in Christ. And in the end, who cares what the world says of you? Really? You have already died in your baptism. You have already risen with Christ. Who cares if people mock or ridicule you? Who cares if people spurn you because you confess the saving name of Christ? Jeremiah looks at his people and literally says to them in the face of death, "Do with me as seems right and good to you. But if you kill me, innocent blood will be on your hands." He knew that they could kill him, but he knew that they could not take his life. That same life that Paul rejoiced even while he sat in prison. They could lock him up, but he says they cannot take his life. That same life that is given to you and to me. In our baptism, we are safe under the wings of our Savior, and we see the things of this world in a different way, simply as gifts from God. the gifts given to you in your physical life are just that, gifts. They do not save. They do not promise life that clings to this world. They will destroy themselves. We have a hope that is greater and more powerful, a hope that is everlasting. Also, that when this world gets troublesome, when it gets fearful, when it gets downright hard and difficult, and at times a shaming for us to confess Christ, when family and friends die, when the economy tanks, when your candidate loses the election, when the bubbles of our pride and our self-sufficiency are popped, there you have hope, you have life, and you have a refuge. There you have the Lord who loves you with all of his heart, still calling us and still sending prophets, apostles, and pastors to call us to repentance, but ultimately to cover you in the wings of his grace and his mercy, to give the life that cannot be taken away. So come, in the midst of this life, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus on the cross, Jesus in our neighbor. We live as citizens of heaven, not clinging to the stuff of this world, but giving of ourselves, not demanding of others, but loving others, including those who would attack us or who are enemies, not begrudging others, but forgiving, not boasting, but quietly praying for those in our midst. All so that we would not be simply comfortable and satisfied with the status quo, but standing firm in the faith under our Lord's wings, where he boldly and happily stands and confesses you before the Father in heaven. To Christ alone be all the glory now and forever. Amen. We rise for the offertory.